$1 million, but the top 15 picks in the draft get fully guaranteed contracts, so they know that money's coming to them. So that's nothing that's not something the Jags put in for Dante Fowler particularly. That's something that is now part of the deal. Yes, it's less money, but that money's guaranteed. I think that's a fair trade-off on both sides. I think teams will gladly take on that guarantee because they're guaranteeing a lot more to begin with anyway, Tony.
Sure.
And we guaranteed $23.5 million for 4 years of service compared to guaranteeing, you know, what might have been in his slot, even as a non-quarterback, $35 million in guaranteed, plus more in the contract
sure.
that he could have made over that period of time. So, and teams spending a first-round draft pick on a player have the fifth-year option to pick up. So, look, he potentially is under contract for the next 4 years by the Jags, and I would expect they would pick up that fifth-year option. And if he's a good player, as they hope he will be, and he rehabs fully, they'll be looking to extend him at some point later on in that rookie deal. In the meantime, just get healthy and get out there and see what you can do.
Yeah, what a weird 2 weeks it has to have been for. I mean, it's always weird that offseason for these guys as they're coming into the NFL. We've talked about it with all the young guys they have on this team. They don't get a chance to catch their breath. It doesn't feel like you're going from your bowl game where Dante Fowler drew a lot of praise for being one of the few guys on that Gator team that didn't seem to give up on anything that was going on against East Carolina. So he gets a lot of praise for that. He gets ready now for a combine, ready for all that stuff that you have to do as a guy going into the league. He's being interviewed left and right. He's visiting all these NFL teams, and it's draft night, and he found a way to get that suit and those shoes.
Got the shoes.
He found a way to get all that done, so he's obviously enjoying the process, and he struck us as a guy that had been enjoying this process throughout the entire offseason. You find out you're going to be the number three draft pick. The Jaguars take you a week later. You got to be excited. I'm going to be on an NFL field for the first time with NFL players, and it may just be a rookie minicamp, but here we go. And an hour into that thing, you tear an ACL. So the next day you're having to do a press conference saying, yeah, I tore my ACL, but I feel like I'll be fine. And, you know, 4 days later, I'm signing a contract for the most money I'll ever see in my life. Like, it's just a weird, weird, like, couple months, but really the last 2 weeks have to have just been crazy for that guy.
2 weeks ago, right now, he was in Chicago, right, the day before the draft, getting ready for it, thinking that, like he stated, leading up to it, he'd be shocked if the Jaguars didn't make him their selection. Maybe
right.
We should have just listened to Dante all along. He was hiding in plain sight as far as that goes, but couldn't be 100% certain where he was going to go, but you're right. I mean, just about to embark on all of that, couldn't have imagined 2 weeks ago everything that had gone into that. Who can imagine that when you're a young athlete like that on top of the world? You think you're indestructible, and you've never had any kind of leg injury to speak of. And I guess going back to high school was the last time he had an injury of any significance, and it was a shoulder injury when he played running back, so Dante Fowler Jr. Got on board with the program, and I think the Jags did the right thing. And ultimately, look, it's a lot of money. I hope there's no suggestion that, well, now he got what he came for. He got his money. I mean, look.
He doesn't strike me as that type of guy.
We
don't know him that well, obviously, but he doesn't strike me as that type of guy.
That impression that he gives you.
Right.
Exactly. That's all you can go on. And he didn't want to go out there and get hurt. Are you kidding me? Guy in the prime of his life, man, he wants to go out there and play. It's fun for those guys, all right? I mean, this is what they've been building for their whole life. Most of them don't do it simply because they're good at it. Put it this way. Most top three picks or top 10 picks don't get to that level simply because he's a bigger, better athlete than most guys, and he's going through the motions. You know what I mean?
And
there are some guys that make it like that.
Sure.
But not
and
the top guys.
The Jaguars, at least under this regime, haven't been bringing in guys that it feels that way. It feels like they're bringing in a lot of guys, and part of the prerequisite to be considered by this team is you better like the game. Like, there better be a passion for you for playing the game of football if you're going to be a member of the Jags
right
now.
I don't know how high it is on their checklist of priorities, but it seems that that box gets checked almost universally every single time by the guys we talk to. And when you talk to Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley about what attracted you to this particular player, that's one of the things that they bring up consistently. So I agree with you, Tony. A lot of new faces here in Jacksonville and some returning faces that we shouldn't forget that we hope to make a big step forward in 2015. So we ask you today, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight. Now that all the pieces are pretty much here, the major pieces that will comprise this roster this year, who's the most likely Jaguar to earn Pro Bowl honors this upcoming season? I was going to say for the 2016 Pro Bowl. I didn't want to throw people off because I would be confused by that question. I know when the Pro Bowl falls, would they be talking about the 2016 season? No, for this upcoming year, this very next year of football, which current member of the roster is the most likely to earn Pro Bowl recognition? And I'm heartened to see some good arguments being made for a number of different candidates already on there. It is tough to break through and get that recognition. It is definitely that, particularly when you come from a team now that has won 9 games in 3 years.
Sure.
It's going to be tough to break that ceiling, but I think it can happen this year. We'll discuss a number of the potential candidates a little bit later on the show. One of them was on this morning with the Drill, Julius Thomas. We've had him here in studio with us as well. Seems like a very bright guy, a guy who, Tony, is eager to prove his detractors wrong. I don't know if it wears on him so much, but I think as a competitor, it's got to be in there and part of him. He's probably getting tired of this even coming up. You know, did Peyton Manning make Julius Thomas, or is there more to Julius Thomas? Is he going to go revert to just an average guy, just another guy in the National Football League? Time will tell this year. My hunch is no, but that doesn't mean I expect the eye-popping numbers that they put up when Denver was having their way with the secondaries over the last couple of years in the National Football League. So we'll hear from Julius Thomas coming up today as well. Football Outsiders, by way of ESPN, predicted the outcomes of everyone's season. AFC and NFC will concentrate on the AFC, particularly the South, and your Jacksonville Jaguars. I know the guys were talking about that a little bit this morning. I want to revisit the story about what I tweeted about involving Mark Long of the Associated Press and Justin Blackmon, and did he or did he not apply for reinstatement and get denied, as Mark indicated on this radio station a couple weeks ago on XL Primetime. So we're going to get into that today and then put it off to the side, but I want to go through, just kind of clear the air and give you full details of what I know about the circumstance, and we'll do that coming up in about 25 minutes as well. If you'd like to get on board today, 641-1010, that's an easy way to do it. Pick up the phone, talk Jaguar football, talk NFL. Deflategate, not a whole lot new to report other than Ted Wells stands by his reporting. And I think he makes a great point, Tony. He said Robert Kraft seemed eager to have him on board until he found out what the results were, and now he's not independent enough for Robert Kraft.
It was funny, all the mudslinging that the Patriots camp was doing, whether it be Robert Kraft or Don Yee or anybody on that side of this thing since the Wells report came out, any of the mudslinging they've done, especially in the direction of Ted Wells, who hasn't spoken about any of the reports he's done before, just hasn't spoken. He's let the report speak for itself. He's like, look, if they're going to fling this kind of stuff at me, I will answer it point for point, the questions that they're bringing up right now about my integrity and the report that I put together. I thought it was interesting because the Patriots were basically starting a smear campaign against the Wells report.
Right, and saying he's basically Goodell's yes man,
right,
rubber stamper.
And Ted Wells came out and said, no, I'm not, and this is why.
And this is why, point by point, including the fact that he wanted to do the second interview with the Patriots employee, one of the two that had access to the footballs, and the Patriots claim he had already been interviewed 4 times. Well, he had. He had been interviewed 3 times by NFL security before Ted Wells started the investigation. And Ted Wells said pointedly that he told Robert Kraft, I want to start from a clean slate, and Robert Kraft was overjoyed. In other words, throw away those interviews he did with NFL security. I'm starting fresh. And then he interviewed the guy, and then he got additional evidence that seemed to contradict some of what the guy was saying, and he wanted him back to talk to him more. And the Patriots not only refused to produce him, but refused to even tell him that Ted Wells wanted to talk to him.
They found the text that he called himself the deflator from back in May,
exactly.
And Ted Wells wanted to talk to him again about what does that mean, and the Patriots wouldn't let him talk to him.
Right, and at this point, to me, it's pretty clear. You can talk all you want about the impact deflating footballs has. Is it cheating? Is it not cheating? On the surface, in and of itself, the cover-up is much worse than the crime here. The fact that the Patriots think they can stonewall the investigation, that Tom Brady can do the same thing, which again, they reiterated yesterday, they never asked for his phone to be turned over. They said to Brady's representative, we'll trust you to give us exactly the specific info we're looking for in text between Brady and these team employees. We'll trust you. We won't even look at the phone. You just hand it over, and they still refuse to do it. Yep. So now to paint this as Tom Brady was afraid some naked photo of his wife was going to get in the hands of some NFL flunky.
It's absurd.
It's absurd. It's absolutely absurd, and it's, you know, depending on who's putting that point of view forth, is as much of a smear and misdirection as anything else we talked about so far. So, honestly, I know a lot of people are saying this whole thing could get wiped out. It's the not cooperating with the investigation part that is the biggest stumbling block, and there are no two ways around that aspect for the New England Patriots. They can argue the outcome of it all they want, but they can't argue that they fully cooperated with the investigation. So, nothing more really to say about it than that. But I found it interesting that Ted Wells came out with both barrels blazing yesterday.
I mean, in the end, maybe the Patriots aren't cooperating because they know there is a smoking gun and whatever evidence that they don't want to turn over. Which, if the Patriots don't want to turn over evidence against themselves, I can totally understand that. Then understand the NFL is going to come down heavy because you're not cooperating.
Exactly.
It's one or the other. You get caught because you did it, or they hit you because you're not going to cooperate because you don't want to incriminate yourself in what happened. But either way, you're going to get hit for what's going on with this entire thing.
No question about it. All right, come back. We'll take a look at Football Outsiders projections for the AFC South and other divisions as well. Again, 641-1010. You can tweet the show at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Tyler. A Metro Rooter Wednesday. Just getting rolling here. Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, Metro Rooter, your Wednesday sponsor of Jaguars today. If you got a plumbing issue at the house, oh my goodness. It's one of the worst things, isn't it? You don't want it. You want it taken care of quickly by people that know what they're doing, that aren't going to gouge you. People that have been in business for a long time because they're trusted. That's Metro Rooter. Any size plumbing job in the home, business, industrial, septic systems, you name it. Same day service, weekends included, the right people with the right equipment. Serving Jacksonville since 1978. Our friends at Metro Rooter. Visit MetroRooter.com or call 695-1911, 695-1911 for Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor of Jaguars today. A couple of things, a couple of points of order here, Tony Smith. Don't get on the wrong side of Donna Murphy. Okay? Do not get on the wrong side of Donna Murphy. And keep your area clean, all right? They go hand in hand, kind of.
Yeah.
For people, a lot of people who stop by the radio studio, say, to pick up a prize or whatever, that may be the only area they see. They see the lobby, and they see the studio and the control room. Studio off to the left, control room off to the right.
Mm-hmm.
There's a main room right in the center of the building that all the offices on the outer perimeter kind of connect to, and we call it the great room.
Yeah.
Pool table in there. Well, that used to be the barometer for who was going to get fired next, right? Truly, wasn't it? I mean, you haven't seen the pool table used in a long time, have you?
No, it just sits there.
I've never seen it used, ever.
You've never seen it, and that's a good thing, Tyler, all right? The attic is stacked with the bodies of people who thought it was a good
idea. Sneak in on the weekend
idea.
And
right.
Enjoy a game of pool while none of the bosses are around.
People who thought it was a good idea to play pool on work time quickly found out that the pool table was a trap. But there's a pool table in there, nice couch or two. You see, you got the Velvet Elvis in there,
mm-hmm.
and you've got some little cubbies, right, that officially, I think, are assigned. Joe has one. Hacker has one. I think one might belong to Rick Blue, and the other one may be officially empty. I'm not sure. Is it Gibson? Is Gibson one of them, too? All right. So there you have it. There are the four cubbies. Donna sends out an email. Spring cleaning time for the great room. And trust
me, we've never had spring cleaning time for the great room.
Knowing Donna usually once a month is on the verge of rage, and when she tells you, get your crap out of the fridge, because it's all going out.
Yeah.
Okay, it's all getting thrown out today at 5 o'clock. So spring cleaning time for the great room. All the desks will be cleared off and cleaned out. If you have anything you don't want touched, please let me know. We need to start keeping that room much cleaner. When we have guests in-house, those desks are an embarrassment. Thanks, Donna Murphy. Knowing Donna, this is written with a thin veneer between the outright hostility and rage that she feels for messy people.
And the joy she has in cleaning.
And she does enjoy it.
She loves doing it.
She does, but she doesn't love it being imposed upon her.
No.
And she feels like, you know, and I don't think Donna should feel this way, but I think she feels like, well, if they don't do it eventually, I'm going to do it because it has to get done. And sloppy people will take advantage of you, okay? Trust me, all right? Trust me, eventually. I can outlast just about anybody in what I can live with in living conditions. Ask any of my roommates in college, okay? So I know the tricks people play, Donna Murphy. It's going to be okay. I would make them clean their own. One day, we should itemize the items that can be found in hackers' cubby drawers, okay? But I'm not going to even embarrass him. As many times as I've endeavored to embarrass Hacker on the air,
yeah,
I'm not even I won't go there and give you an itemized accounting of what's in those drawers.
No.
That's got to tell you something, doesn't it?
No, I do know there's still stuff on that desk from when Jason Godby was employed here. Like, it's been sitting there for years without being cleaned out. So have fun, Donna. I have no idea what you're going to find.
Hacker gets on a kick where he'll buy some food and, you know, he'll eat like raw tuna or something for 2 weeks in a row. You know, he gets on some new diet phase. And so all of a sudden, that's all you'll see. You'll see packs of this, packs of that. And then eventually one or two of them will just sit there well beyond the expiration date. We've had fun with some of those things over the time. Anyway, let's take a look at Football Outsiders, what they say about your Jacksonville Jaguars. A little surprising to me, the rankings within the division here. They've got the Colts going 10-6 this year. I think that's a shock to anybody. Everyone's going to pick the Colts to win the division, right? If you're not homering up, clearly Andrew Luck is the most accomplished, established, best quarterback in the division. You can argue, you can say anything you like about your hopes for Blake Bortles or anybody else. You don't even know who's going to play quarterback for Houston. You think it's going to be Ryan Mallett, and Marcus Mariota hasn't played a down in the NFL. Andrew Luck wins that hands down in the most important category, clearly, to have an advantage in. So 10-6 for the Colts.
That's why they've been winning it the last 3 years.
Absolutely, right? That and the fact that the other teams in the division have been struggling greatly, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, you had two of them in the top three of the draft in Tennessee and Jacksonville. They've got Houston at 8-8. They've got, which are fine. You know, a lot of people think, you know, they've got a lot of talent at positions other than quarterback, and that's what's going to get them to around a .500 record. Okay, you can argue that any way you like.
Sure.
Tennessee going 7-9, Tony. That's the one that gets me, right? They make the big jump. Now, it's not impossible to think that Marcus Mariota could come in and have some success. I think we've almost reached a point where it swung far in the opposite direction that, wow, this guy is going to struggle in Tennessee. He's not going to be a fit. They're not going to do enough things to take advantage of his skills in a spread offense. Well, we don't know yet what they're going to do with this guy. He was hyper-productive, very efficient with the football, smart with the football, great athlete, can do a lot of things. Still, you're talking about going to a team as a rookie quarterback that didn't have anything going for it last year.
No.
And you're going to make that jump up to 7-9. Look, I'm sure in Tennessee they're talking about the same kind of jump they can make compared to us here in Jacksonville. But maybe I'm just not paying enough attention to what the talent Tennessee's trying to amass in the offseason. But I think Jacksonville had a hell of an offseason. Yes, they didn't add a franchise quarterback, but what they have is they've got their quarterback with his rookie year growing pains out of the way and hopefully able to step on the field and be much more advanced right from the jump than Mariota will be certainly this year.
Yeah, and that's where it gets into, look, obviously they have the Jags behind those three teams, so they got the Jags going 6-10.
6-10.
And when you look at the little blurbs they have about each of the four teams in the AFC South, you look at the Jaguars specifically, they talk about some of the additions that we were just saying. T.J. Yeldon coming in, Julius Thomas as that tight end coming in, that group of receivers they drafted last year. And then they end it with, without significant improvement from the quarterback and the offensive line, the Jaguars are likely still doomed to last place. Losing first-round pick Dante Fowler Jr. to a torn ACL on his first day of rookie minicamp doesn't help. That's fine. You expect the Tennessee Titans to take a huge leap forward with a rookie quarterback. And in Jacksonville, your quarterback going into his second year now in the league apparently isn't good enough to get them any better than they've been.
And I don't know how to read that line when you say without significant improvement from the quarterback and the offensive line. Now, are they saying, yes, granted, we recognize there's some new bodies there, but we don't know how well they're going to play. And that's fair, if you want to say
that. That would be
fair. But at least recognize, I hope, that there are potentially three new starters, certainly one new starter for sure, likely two when you talk about Parnell as the for sure guy, was Newski as the likely
guy. Could be three.
And it could be AJ
Depending
Kemp.
On what happens with left
But
guard,
I'm not going to get crazy about a third round pick coming in immediately and pushing Zane Beatles out. Again, you know, not to, I don't want to belabor the Zane Beatles point, but the people who watch the tape will tell you the last six games were an improvement for Zane last year.
Sure.
And look, you'd like him to come in and play his best football regardless, but if he's not motivated right now to play his best football, then, you know, then he never would have made it to the National Football League. Clearly, he's going to be feel driven to hold on to that spot.
Absolutely. And I looked at Zane Beatles' contract over the weekend just because of the AJ Can pick, and it was basically a two-year deal. The Jags can get out of it after 2 years and not owe him anything beyond that point. So the idea of drafting Can when you have the opportunity, you feel like it's a value in the third round. Well, now you're setting yourself up that if that guy can play at the same level as Beatles, not in 2015 but in 2016, or if he's an improvement on Beatles, well, now you can go get another cheaper option.
You shift that money
right.
from Beatles onto something else, and you drop it down to third-round rookie level.
Exactly.
Contract.
I mean, it was them thinking about their roster as well and the value that they could get in the third round. I think the offensive line is going to be better than it was because I don't think it can be worse than it was in 2014. I certainly think the moves that they made is going to help them. I think Blake Bortles is going to grow up a little bit. I don't have a huge issue with around the record they have the Jags, right? Like that 6-10, 7-9 feels right. I've been saying it for a couple weeks now. I want to see them get out of the double-digit losses. 7-9 is what I want to see this year. 7-9 or better, and in contention when we get to the month of December. I would switch Tennessee and Jacksonville. I get it. They bring in what? Brian Arakpo. They draft Marcus Mariota. And they get Doriel Green-Beckham.
David Cobb and could be their starting running
right,
back day one.
Harry Douglas in free agency. Those are the things they've done to help that team. You look at what they've done to help that team that was at the same level as Jacksonville last
Slightly
year.
Slightly worse.
Right, compared to where Jacksonville, what they did in this offseason. Jacksonville helped themselves more than Tennessee did in this offseason, in my opinion. The idea of having them ahead of Jacksonville at this point in the offseason is a little dumb.
Well, they do... In their own analysis, this is based on a lot of numbers and metrics, right? That's what this is really based on. Football Outsiders, they're projecting things, and they say that Marcus Mariota got an outstanding projection from their system, and they note in their write-up of Tennessee this projection could be a little high, as the numbers don't know that the spread-centric Mariota will probably need a couple of seasons to fully adapt his talent to the NFL game. So that system is taking the raw numbers he produced in college, which are outstanding. And they're saying, oh, wow, this is what we think a quarterback putting up those numbers is going to translate to in the National Football League, hence the big improvement to 7-9. And I tend to agree with you. Jags somewhere in that mid-range, near 500. I'd like to see 7-9 more so than 6-10. I'd like to see 8-8. I'd like to see 9-7, on and on. But somewhere in that range seems reasonable. But for Tennessee to take the bigger leap, it doesn't make a ton of sense, and it is hinging on Mariota. And you know what? Maybe Mariota comes in, Tony, and he has that Robert Griffin rookie year. You don't know if they really tailor it. Robert Griffin played without an offense, period, in college, basically. I mean, there were no plays. It was basically, here are the formations, go out there and make things happen.
It's the knock on Bryce Petty, essentially, right now, too.
Exactly. But for Griffin, they were able to adapt that in Washington in his first season, run heavy on the read option, and then, of course, we know the story from where that went once he got hurt. Don't think they're going to run as much read option in Tennessee, but can they come up with a system to benefit Marcus Mariota? They're certainly, with the number two pick invested in him, they've got to try to come up with building something that suits him.
It's just you see something like this. I don't look at the Jaguars. I don't think they're the worst roster in the AFC South anymore. I really don't. I think their roster is better than Tennessee. I think it's probably even or at least on par with what Houston has, and they're better at the quarterback position, in my opinion, than Houston is. And I think their roster in general is about even with the Indianapolis Colts. It's just that they have Andrew Luck, and the Jaguars are hoping that Blake Bortles develops into a franchise quarterback. I think that they're not the worst roster in this division, and to continually see them in last place in the division, I think people are going to be a little bit surprised by what they do.
All right, we got to take a quick timeout. When we return, though, we're going to get into, if you followed me on Twitter this weekend, you've heard us talk about this on the show at sporadic times over the last couple of weeks. Mark Long of the Associated Press came on XL Primetime a few weeks ago and made some statements about Justin Blackmon. And I went to talk to him this weekend to clarify, and I want to give you an update on where all that stands, and we're going to do that next right here on Jaguars Today. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony with you on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Metro Rooter Wednesday continues. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars Today live at Everbank Field here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Indulge us for the next few minutes. I want to clear up some of the stuff that's going around about Justin Blackmon, Mark Long, this program, myself, and put it all out there for your public consumption, because I think that's what we are supposed to do. And it started a couple weeks ago, and we mentioned this a couple weeks ago, two or three, I forget the exact date. May have been April 28th, but it was sometime in April when Mark appeared, Mark Long, covers the Jags for the Associated Press, appeared on XL Primetime, and made a statement to the effect that Justin Blackmon had applied for reinstatement and didn't get reinstated. There's no talk of him getting reinstated, so something must have happened. In fact, let's play it in Mark's own words. This was in late April on 1010XL.
The news on Justin Blackmon looks more and more bleak. Clearly, he applied for reinstatement and was getting tested, and now he didn't get reinstated, and there's no talk about him getting reinstated. So something must have happened. Either he missed a test or he failed a test. Something along that line happened, and then you see the photos on the internet where he's puffy, and that obviously doesn't bode well either for this franchise.
Yeah, you could throw away the last line, but we just left it in there in the context of an answer he was given, or he was giving about Justin Blackmon. And at the time, Tony came on, I heard this, and the next show we came on the air, I said, look, if you heard this, I was a little confused by it, because I could listen to that, and I could take that to be Mark is stating this happened. Clearly, he applied for reinstatement, as I'm quoting it, and was getting tested, and now he didn't get reinstated. There's no talk of him getting reinstated, so something must have happened. The speculation is what could have happened to cause him to not get reinstated, as he had stated had happened, okay? But I was unsure. Is he reporting this, or is he speculating? Is this an educated guess? And I brought it up at the time and said, I'm not going to belabor this because, quite frankly, everybody else I've talked to, and that is to this day, to this moment, everybody else I've talked to has heard nothing about Justin Blackmon getting reinstated.
Right.
Okay? In fact, I was told point blank by a guy who has multiple sources and is in great position to know that it's simply not true, that he hasn't applied for reinstatement, okay? So what I endeavored to do, though, was go out when I saw Mark next and talk to him about this and say, hey, let's clear this up. Remember when you were on and so on and so forth. Now, I did this Saturday at training camp. Tony was there, happened to be there with me. Wasn't like I was looking for a witness, but I'm glad he was there at the time. And I asked Mark, I said, look, do you recall making these statements that Justin Blackmon, in fact, applied for reinstatement and was denied reinstatement by the National Football League? He said, yeah. I said, okay. And, Tony, I'm paraphrasing a word or two here, but feel free to interrupt if at any point I'm giving an incomplete or inaccurate representation of the conversation on Saturday. I said, are you speculating? Is this an educated guess? Or are you reporting that this happened, that he applied for reinstatement and was denied? He said, yes, it happened. That's what I'm saying. Yes, it happened. Yes, it happened. In other words, yes, he applied and was denied. Okay? I said, well, what else can you tell me? And again, I'm paraphrasing this. And Mark said, the feeling in the building is that he failed a test. And he also had he possibly missed a test. There was some confusion on what could have caused it. And I asked Mark, can I put your name on this? In other words, this is something Mark's done a million times in writing a story. You got a source. Can I quote you on this? Or are you off the record? Or are you anonymous? At this point, all you got to do, if you're not going to stand by it, is say, hey, you know what? I believe this to be the case. I'm not going to run with it. Let's not run with it. There are a million things you could say. But instead, he said, yes, you can put my name on it. Mark, can I quote you on this? Yes, you can. That's exactly what I did. Went on Twitter on Saturday, and I said, confirmed via Mark Long, that Justin Blackmon applied for reinstatement and was denied. Follow-up series of tweets, including one that said, to clarify, you can read confirmed as clarification. And I went into saying, I heard him report this on the air, and I wanted, for my own sake, clarification. Are you reporting this as fact, or are you speculating? Are you doing any of these things? Gave him multiple opportunities, and he stood by it and said I could put his name on it. So I did just that. Immediately, I got questions. Where are you getting this? Where is this coming from? I'd be careful about this because he's not writing this story. I said, it doesn't matter to me if he's writing this story or not. When you are the reporter of record for the Associated Press, and you go on the official station of the team you're covering and make the statement, clearly he applied for reinstatement, was getting tested. Now he didn't get reinstated. There's no talk of him getting reinstated, so something must have happened, dot, 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 and there is more to it. You heard the quote. We'll play it again. And then I go to you as a member of the station and a well-known member of the media who covers the team and ask for clarification. Are you saying this happened, and can I put your name to it? Yes and yes. I'm sorry. You are reporting that. Mark Long now will not come on and talk about this story. All right? He told XL Primetime yesterday, by way of Andrew Gibson, that he will not discuss this Justin Blackmon story because he, quote, did not report it. I'm sorry. You can't hide behind that. And that's exactly what's going on here, in my opinion. I don't care if you're a writer or a radio guy. You come on the radio on this network and make that claim and then back it up when I question you point blank. Are you speculating? No, I'm saying this happened. You cannot hide behind, I'm not reporting that. I'm sorry. Plenty of news is broken on the radio. Plenty of writers go on radio shows, and what they say gets picked up and becomes news. You have to stand by what you say. And all you got to do is say, no, I'm backing away from that, and it never would have come to this. My feeling is right now Mark Long's not standing by what he reported. He reported it. He can deny that he reported it, but he clearly reported it and confirmed to me that he reported it in the presence of Tony. And now he will not discuss it, and he also went on to tell Andrew Gibson, well, unless I write it, I'm not reporting it. I don't consider reporting it unless I write it. So in other words, what? Every time you come on the radio, you can say anything you want, and you can go under the umbrella of, well, it doesn't count because I didn't write it. I can say anything. I don't buy that. In fact, to me, that's insulting. I don't try to be some hard-bitten journalist where I'm breaking news and, you know, trying to get the scoop on everybody else. It's more of an entertainment and an information program, but we want our information to be accurate. I will never misrepresent to you something that I don't know as something that I do know. What I tried to represent this weekend on Twitter was that I believed Mark was reporting a story, and I confirmed that, yes, this is what he's saying. And I confirmed that in a private conversation with him, and that I asked him, can I use your name on? He knows what that means. It means I'm going to publicly attach you to this story. The story to me, I wasn't telling you Justin Blackmon applied for reinstatement. The story to me was the Associated Press reporter of record for this team said this on the air, confirmed it when asked about it directly, and no one's talking about this. That to me was the story. And it continues to be the story. And now Mark would like to pretend it was never a story. In fact, I was told that he hopes I would just drop the whole thing. Well, guess what? That's not going to happen. And don't think I'm taking a shot at Mark without an opportunity to respond. I have reached out to Mark every day over the last several days. So has Tyler. Tyler finally got him on the phone yesterday when he was calling in for XL Primetime. He wasn't expecting Tyler to pick up the phone. Said he would call me, talk the whole thing out, never did. And so, quite frankly, I'm a little ticked off. He made his statement, and now he wants to pretend he can say anything he wants and not back it up. And you know what? Call me naive for buying it, because a lot of people told me Mark will be this way, that if he doesn't write it, he's not going to claim it. I said, well, you can't have that. You can't go on the air and make that statement and then, when questioned about it, point blank, back it up and then run away from it. But apparently you can. So take it for what you will. Tony, in your mind, have I misrepresented anything in this last 10 minutes of conversation?
No. I was standing right there when you were having the conversation with Mark Long out of practice on Saturday, and you and I had this conversation before, where as soon as he said it on air, we did come in here the day after. We didn't talk about it a whole lot here because we hadn't had a chance to talk to Mark Long and get his side of this thing.
We noted it.
You know, nailed down, but we were like, the next time we see Mark, we're going to make it a point to ask him about this. And I was standing right there when you did. Nothing you said is inaccurate.
So I will say now, I fully believe Mark Long reported that, no matter how he characterizes it, no matter what kind of semantics he wants to throw around it. And clearly, he doesn't stand by that. So I will tell you right now, my apologies to anyone who bought that, because I certainly was taken in. And shame on me for passing along what I thought was good information from a reputable journalist. And certainly no harm intended toward Justin Blackmon, fan base, team, organization in any aspect. And here's the thing. You're not going to find me deleting all my tweets, okay? I'm not going to pretend I didn't do it. I put it out there, said, hey, I had these conversations. I'm passing it along. I will further clarify that on Twitter. And, in fact, this audio segment, I'll be happy to tweet it out because it's easier than trying to go in 140 characters at a time and explain the entire situation. So I'll tweet out a link to that. And I hope everybody who retweeted the original information takes the time to retweet this as well. And if you want to be mad at me about that, that's fine. I'll own it. You know what? Because I'm going to come on here. I'm not going to hide from what I did and what I said. And that's it. I mean, I've given Mark every opportunity to come on. And at this point, it's pretty evident to me that he doesn't want to discuss it one iota. He just wants to drop that bomb out there and then pretend it never happened. And that's not going to happen in this case. So I'm going to move on from it. Not going to belabor it. But I felt it was my responsibility to clear the air on this because I got involved in it. I should have just, you know what? Should have just never, I don't know what I should have done. I thought, again, setting out, like we said, let's clarify what he did a couple weeks ago. I mentioned I was going to do that. I'm a conduit to the fans of the team through this radio program. Sure. And I had information that I thought was pertinent. And I thought, hey, here's the guy standing by what he said. Let me pass that along to you. My bad for thinking he would continue to stand by what
sure.
he said.
And I talked about it on Saturday as well, as I was live out at Sawgrass after I was there for that conversation between you and Mark Long. So, look, I took it the same way you did. You know, I took it the exact same way you did. It's not my story. I felt like it was his and that he was standing by a report that he had made a couple weeks ago here on 1010XL. It doesn't appear to be that way right now.
This idea that a reporter can come on this station, make that claim, then when questioned and say, no, it wasn't speculation, it happened, and then claim they're not reporting it, I don't know what kind of fantasy world that is. I don't know where that comes from. You don't get to make up the rules like that, okay? You, in your own mind, may want to compartmentalize it like that, but think about how ridiculous it would be, Tony, if anything I write, if anything I post on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, I can say, well, as long as I don't say it on the air, it doesn't count, because that's my main medium, okay? It doesn't count. I'm not reporting that. I'm just putting it out there for everyone to hear and stating that it's a fact in a follow-up inquiry, yet I'm not reporting that. I mean, you can't have it both ways. And so there you have it. One more time. Here was the original clip from a few weeks ago in I don't have the specific date in April, but in a few weeks ago on an appearance on XL Primetime, this is what originally started this whole conversation.
The news on Justin Blackmon looks more and more bleak. Clearly, he applied for reinstatement and was getting tested, and now he didn't get reinstated, and there's no talk about him getting reinstated. So something must have happened. Either he missed a test or he failed a test. Something along that line happened, and then you see the photos on the internet where he's puffy, and that obviously doesn't bode well either for this franchise.
All right, we played the clip in its entirety there. The salient point to me is clearly he applied for reinstatement. He was getting tested. He didn't get reinstated. There's no talk of him getting reinstated, so something must have happened. Either he missed a test or failed a test. I'm putting the parentheses in other words, to cause him to not get reinstated. It's plain reading of the language. But just for clarity's sake, I don't want to go over everything I just said over the last 10 minutes. Went specifically, opportunity after opportunity, do you stand by this? Will you put your name to this? Yes, yes, yes. And now the complete opposite. So I will put that. Tyler's going to put that on SoundCloud. I'll put that out on Twitter at some point this afternoon. And hopefully it gets as much attention as the initial report did. And for now, that's it. And quite frankly, as far as the organization is concerned, nothing has changed with Justin Blackmon. As Dave Caldwell said on Sirius XM Radio a week or so ago, if he were to get reinstated, we would welcome him back with open arms. He also said, hey, we drafted a couple of receivers. Probably tells you what we think about the likelihood, and again, I'm paraphrasing, of that happening. But regardless, if he were to get reinstated, the Jags as an organization would welcome him back, and they've never wavered from that.
No, they have not.
So I'm done with it for now anyway, and we'll move on. This Dayton football history, the Honda Drive around the NFL, coming up next on Jaguars Today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
I'm Tyler Devitt with your 1010 XL 92.5 FM Southeast Orthopedic Specialist local sports update brought to you by Osteen Volvo. Too busy to call us? Send us a text on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line at 641-1010. The Jacksonville Suns are back in action. First pitch coming up in less than a couple minutes at 11:05. So head on out to downtown to the baseball grounds where they face off against the Pensacola Blue Wahoos. Against first pitch coming up in just a few minutes at 11:05 from downtown at the baseball grounds. The UNF Ospreys tie their school Division I record with their 40th victory on the season as UNF defeats the UCF Golden Knights 10-5 last night at Harmon Stadium. The Ospreys have now won 12 straight games. Record night for Osprey baseball as Donnie DeWeese breaks the school hit record. Tyler Moore second to reach 200 Ks, and the team also got their Division I record 40th win on the season. Florida Gators signee Noah Dickerson has asked for his release from the school following the coaching change as the school hired the former Louisiana Tech coach Mike White. Dickerson was a 6'8 power forward from Montverde Academy and was ranked in the top 151st overall in the ESPN Top 100. He committed to Florida last August, choosing the Gators over LSU and Georgia Tech. With your 1010 XL, 92.5 FM, Southeast Orthopedic Specialist, local sports update brought to you by Osteen Volvo. I'm Tyler Devitt.
Jaguars Today on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. This date, 1992. Tony, how old do you even feel now? 1992, Tyron Matthew, born the Honey Badger, 23 years young, dude. Guys being born in the 90s.
I know.
And being in the league for, this will be his third season in the league. It's hard to wrap my little brain around. Obviously, went to the national championship game at LSU after beating Alabama 9-6 in the regular season. Had to replay them in the championship game. They lost 21-0 in that one. Then got kicked off the team for reportedly multiple failed drug tests. And ultimately got drafted by the Arizona Cardinals towards ACL and LCL towards the tail end of his rookie season. Did play last year. Kind of a shadow of what he was his rookie year, but it was about 9 months after the initial injury when he came back. So we'll see what he is in year three. Also, this date, 1996, O.J. Simpson appeared on British television to discuss his not guilty verdict. Tony, you recall, did O.J. get paid for that? He had to get paid for that appearance, right? You would think.
You would think.
He wasn't going to go on in any TV station in America and deal with the questioning on that. So I'm guessing that was a paper appearance set up with O.J., if it wasn't O.J., sue me. Go ahead. I don't care. O.J. Simpson, who cares, appeared on British TV in 1996 on this date to discuss his not guilty injustice. Presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive Cosmetic Dentistry. That's this date in football history. Dr. McCall, located on Gate Parkway, call 620-9225. If you're in need of a family dentist or you need cosmetic work, visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
The Miami Dolphins have been cleared of any tampering in their pursuit of free agent defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh. The issue arose from ESPN and other outlets being able to give out contract details between the Dolphins and Suh 2 days before the official negotiating window between teams and players officially opened. But the NFL has cleared Miami of any wrongdoing. They will not face any punishment. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have claimed strong safety DJ Swearinger off waivers after he was released by the Houston Texans. The Denver Broncos claim former Bucs wide receiver Solomon Patton and now former Jaguars tight end Marcell Jensen off waivers yesterday as well. Jensen spent most of last season on the practice squad for the Jags, catching one pass for 8 yards in their Week 3 matchup against the Indianapolis Colts, the first regular season game that Blake Bortles played in. And a quick update on the idiocy of the New England Patriots GoFundMe page to go help the Patriots pay their $1 million fine. They have raised just over $13,000 in the first day.
Almost there.
And I thought you would enjoy this. This is the, when you put in a donation, you can include like a little blurb, like why you're doing your donating. Right. The last one that got put in there from Lori says, "This is not about the money. We all know the Pats can afford the fine. It's about principle and right from wrong. How do I explain to my two sons that people can do things so much worse than this being caught in the act with little or no punishment, and Mr. Rogers' neighborhood is punishing this team with no evidence? NFL, this is in all caps now. Great message you are sending to the future adults in this world. You should be ashamed of yourselves." This is the kind of sentiment we're getting from Patriots Nation.
It's a little strong. I can see that point of view. I can see the idea in general that we got guys beating up women, right? Who Ray Rice initially got a two-game suspension. This guy may have orchestrated taking the air out of some footballs. In life, those two don't equate.
Right.
But this is not life we're talking about. We're talking about two separate standards. We're talking about off-the-field misconduct, and we're talking about integrity of the game issues. And furthermore, again, I don't want to belabor this anymore, but furthermore, it's the unwillingness to fully cooperate that's really the thing that's getting the Patriots in trouble here.
I was going
to
say,
opinion.
Instead of comparing the Ray Rice suspension and the Tom Brady suspension as a parent, how about you say, they both did wrong. This one with Ray Rice is clearly more wrong. The Tom Brady story is, when you get caught doing something that was outside the rules, or if you get caught doing something wrong, come clean. Be honest about it. You shouldn't be cheating anyway, but if you get caught doing that kind of thing, all I want you to do is be honest with me, as your parent. That should be the lesson that you should be taking in this. Not, they gave Ray Rice two games.
Damn,
and
Tony.
They gave Tom four, the scumbags at the NFL league office. No, if that's the way that you're looking at this thing, I think you're looking at it wrong.
Can I invite you over to parent my child this week?
No.
Bonus parenting for a week. That was very good.
No.
I like that. What's wrong? You like Colin. He's a good kid.
I do like Colin.
You guys talk Star Wars and comic books every time you see each other.
Yes, we do.
Come on,
Ninjago.
Man. He's moved well.
Ninjago.
Let's not go back in ancient history now with Ninjago. What a phase that was. And the other one, Chima, which was just created to suck money out of your wallet. I mean, that whole line of Lego deal. I think they're coming out with Doctor Who now for Lego,
really?
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Are there enough kids in the Doctor Who, or is that for old nerds like me?
No, I think Doctor Who's very popular. With like the current ones are very popular, I think.
I know they are. I know a lot of people my age love Doctor Who. I didn't know that kids were into
Doctor
Who.
Maybe it's for adults. I don't know what to tell you. Maybe it's like a Lego movie. You know, the dad will be in the basement.
Right.
Gluing them together. You know how that goes. I do have a list sent to me by Howard Wolpoff at the station, yourteamcheats.com.
Yeah, it's fun.
It details all the cheating from every team ever in the National Football League. I'll give you the instances of, quote, cheating. The Jags have a very low cheating score, as you might imagine. Of course, they have a shorter history than most. But three instances of performance-enhancing drug suspensions.
Mm-hmm.
T.J. Slaughter, Marcus Stroud, Leroy Reynolds. So those guys all got punished for that. Arrowgate. Before the 2001 game with the Tampa Bay Bucks, Tony, the Jags painted the field incorrectly.
I forgot about that one.
The arrows usually point towards the end zone or pointing away from it in one of the end zone. Noted Dave Hansis of NFL.com, quote, "Call us cynics, but we don't believe this was some accident by a bumbling grounds crew intern. Something Machiavellian was at play in Jacksonville." Now, that could have been tongue-in-cheek. I don't know. But, no, think what you want, but I don't think the Bucks were like running towards the end zone and looked, oh, arrow,
uh-oh,
turn around,
right,
go the other way. I don't think anyone would think that would be effective, so I would take that off the list. Cheapsgate, every one of these is a gate. That was arrow gate, PED gate.
Yeah, it's kind of a joke.
Right. Cheap shots and illegal hits are aggressively punished by the league, and this is on a how many video camera system, I guess, for Spygate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you get 0.25 video cameras per NFL punished incident with a fine over $25,000. Terrence Knighton got fined $25,000 for a late hit.
I was about to say, they haven't had many of those.
That's like a penalty, an on-field penalty. Is it cheating? Well, it's a penalty. Is holding cheating? I don't know, you know, in that instance. So, again, you're stretching it here. Tampergate, they're saying basically every team in the league tampers prior to free agency, so they're all guilty of cheating.
Sure.
Okay. I don't even know if that's true anymore. I did find it interesting, and I'm not trying to be naive, okay? I'm really not trying to be all Pollyanna, pie in the sky, teal glasses. But I found it interesting how many of these guys were like, yeah, I didn't meet Gus. Didn't talk to Gus prior to signing the deal. Because, you know, you would think if you really were going to tamper and lay the groundwork for all this stuff, there'd be, you know, extensive conversations. As much as Gus was like, hey, I trust Dave. Dave's got to get him in. This thing moves quick. And I met a lot of these guys after we signed. I met most of these guys after we signed. I just found that interesting. I don't know. Again, don't want to be naive. But basically, on and on it goes. Then the Jags earned cheat points because they accused the Patriots of messing with the headset system in New England once. How does that work? So it's a pretty flimsy document. I don't think it's meant to be some sort of legal document. Nonetheless, if you want to check it out, you can go to yourteamcheats.com/Jacksonville. I'm sure it'll make all those Patriot fans out there feel that much better about themselves. You know, it'd feel good if Julius Thomas catches about 12 to 14 touchdowns this year, maybe 1,100 yards receiving,
something like
that. Be a beast. Just back it up. He was on the drill this morning. We're going to hear from the Jags' new tight end coming up. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt here with you. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars Today continues live from Everbank on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. I'm marching along. Metro Rooter brings you the show every Wednesday midweek. I haven't checked in with O'Halloran. I think he will be in tomorrow. Nothing official on that. And we'll see what David Garrard's up to. David Garrard, by the way, talk about just like burying the lead on Friday.
He buried the lead, and then everything else that happened throughout that day on Friday.
Right. It just was like, oh, poof, gone.
Right.
Dave came on the program with us. We were out live at Sawgrass, and he stopped by for a couple of segments of radio as Friday's his typical day to join us. He's out there taking in the golf tournament. And I was leaving early to come over from minicamp. Tony's holding down the fort very well, as always. And here's what Dave threw in as like a last-minute addition. Here it is.
I want to say one more thing before we break, too. I want to go ahead and let you guys know that I am officially retiring, and I will be officially retiring as a Jaguar.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. You were, like, getting up to leave, and he was like, hey,
he's
hey,
like, well, one
hold
more
on,
thing.
Hold on a second. I'm retiring.
Well, you know what? A lot of people, it's kind of funny. I mean, people on Twitter are like, wait a minute. What do you mean you're retiring? When's the last time you played football, right? But
sure,
he's making it official. Guy, look, Dave has had, you know, interest, at least teams monitoring him over the last couple of off seasons. And you go back, and I think for him probably, Tony, he goes back to, if you remember Ryan Tannehill's rookie year.
Yep.
David was in Miami and had won the starting job. And he got hurt in the preseason, and his timetable would have held him out of the early part of the year. And they just made the decision, you know what? Let's just go with the young guy at this point.
Yeah.
Right? We're going to have the bridge guy in front of him. But now that he's not there, what are we going to do? Go to a guy lower, you know, on the depth chart, throw him in there for a month, hold the fort down to Dave comes back when he gets up. No, forget it. We're going to scrap it. We're going to go with Tannehill. So at that time, they decided to part ways with Dave. But before he got hurt, he had won the starting job. So he probably felt, I'm sure, in the back of his mind, he had football left to play. There was still some football left in him. It's got to be hard for a competitor to walk away. So I took that to be he's going to, and maybe he gave you more info on that, but he's going to have an official, like, one-day kind of deal.
He didn't know when or
but it will
what
happen.
Exactly, but that's the plan.
Because when I left, I'm walking, you know, I'm walking out TPC. I can't hear what's going on. Take the shuttle over to parking. By the time I'm there, he's off the air with you. So, like you said, everything that happened over the course of the weekend with Dante Fowler took precedence in the mind of many. But didn't want that to go past your base of knowledge right there if you hadn't heard that on Friday. And again, not earth-shaking news, but I'm a big fan of Dave as a guy, and I'm happy for him that he got to is going to get to have that opportunity. So Texter will talk about the Lego deal. By the way, don't get me wrong. I love the Lego thing. Legos are great because they're creative. My son does truly. He customizes them. You know, he is like the kid in the movie. He wants to build it. Then he wants to tear it apart. He wants to say, how can I take this Star Wars vehicle and make it an Avengers vehicle?
Yeah.
And you know, and vice versa and all these things.
Well, they're so specialized, and it doesn't feel like they were that way when I was a kid.
Right.
Like, I just remember having a big bucket of Legos and saying, all right, I'm going to build the Millennium Falcon. Like, that would be what I would have to do.
There wouldn't be a set for
right.
it with all the specific pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, you're right. It's very specialized. But Texter on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line said, I don't feel sorry for you, Mike. Try having a daughter who's into American Girl. I didn't know what this was. I had to look it up. Apparently, this is horrendous. It's a line of 18-inch high dolls that have been around since 1986. They portray 8 to 11-year-old girls in a variety of ethnicities. They're sold with accompanying books told from the viewpoint of these girls. Or dolls, and originally the stories focused on various periods of American history, but were expanded in 1995 to include characters and stories from contemporary life. A variety of related clothing and accessories is also available. Oh, I bet it is.
I bet it is,
Tony.
That sounds miserable.
Sold separately. The two favorite words of toy manufacturers.
A completely non-interactive toy. Yay.
It stands there. Look, from the picture, maybe you could take it off the post. They stand there on a stand like a post. And this holding them up, and you're like, oh, look, let me look at that doll.
Sure. I'm all for getting kids to read, but
bleh. All right.
That sounds awful.
Let's talk Julius Thomas here as he joined Jeff Prosser, Dan Hicken on the drill earlier today. We've had Julius on the program and looking for big things out of him this year. And the boys this morning on 1010XL asked Julius for his early impressions of quarterback Blake Bortles.
I'm really excited about him. You know, he has all the intangibles you need. To be a great quarterback in this league. He's got the size, he's got the strength, arm strength. You know, he can extend the play, all the stuff that you need to have in your tool belt. And now it's just about, you know, maturing, learning the game, understanding that you're going to make mistakes and then coming back better from that, doing little things and in the meeting room, you know, after practice, making sure that you're the leader of that huddle, making sure that you hold everybody accountable. Everybody knows what they're doing, and running your ship. You know, sometimes it's kind of tough to be a young guy and come in and look at guys that have been playing for a long time, and guys that you have respect for, and say, look, hey, this is my show. This is the way it's going to go. But you know, that's what it takes to be a great quarterback, and you know, that's what we're looking for from Blake, and we're excited. It's this offseason seeing, you know, how he's taken to this new offense. You know, coming out in practice. Command in that huddle, and I'm looking forward to him doing some really good things.
It's interesting, Tony, because Julius clearly had a good quarterback model to learn from in that regard, but he goes from being a young guy, converted basketball player, new to the league, raw talent, but very talented, to now where you see him coming in here, and despite the age, it's a team with a lot of 20-somethings on this team. Which ones will emerge as leaders? Julius Thomas talks like he's a leader. Blake Bortles needs to be the ultimate leader. But Julius Thomas seems like a guy who is seasoned beyond his age would seem to indicate.
Yeah, it's almost like he's the guy that's replacing Cecil Shorts in that room, and he's a guy who's been more successful than Cecil Shorts in the league, right? Like, he's now kind of that veteran presence for a bunch of these young guys that are trying to figure this thing out. And I think, having played with a guy like Peyton Manning who prepares the way he does, nobody prepares harder than Peyton Manning. There may be guys who prepare on that level, but nobody prepares harder and gets himself ready for game day better than Peyton. To bring that to another organization with a bunch of young guys that are trying to figure it out at the same time, I think can only help him in that room and help some of those young guys too. And you mentioned the basketball background. When he was on with the guys this morning on the drill, Julius Thomas, the Jaguars' new tight end, talked about that basketball background and how it helps him.
You know, that was my sport. That's what I played in high school, and that's what I went to college on scholarship for, and played 4 years of basketball there. You know, I had a great time doing it, met a lot of lifelong friends, and after I graduated from college, made the decision to give football a chance before my athletic career. It came to an end, and I was able to go out that spring, practice through the spring, and then play one season. had some good success and was able to get an opportunity to get drafted and start my career playing football.
So that's the background. How then do you get from that point? How do you transition from being that guy, college basketball player, to making it in the NFL?
You know, it's actually pretty different because I was, you know, 6'5", power forward. Didn't see much ability to play professionally. You know, I always knew that, you know, if I continued to do what I had to do, I could go play overseas and, you know, get a couple of years of playing professional basketball and learn some different cultures and have that experience. But I always wanted to play football, and, you know, throughout my college basketball career, I'd always be thinking about, you know, when I got the chance to play football, how it would work, you know, kind of visualizing yourself having success. And, you know, it was something all my teammates, my coaches knew that I was really looking forward to do. A lot of my teammates felt that, you know, we think you'll be a hell of a football player just because we see the athletic ability you have. The way you play basketball was borderline footballish. So when I started playing football, I was actually just really relieved that that I was going to get another chance to do it. I really regretted not playing football in high school. And I used to always tell myself, you know, I don't want to be 30 years old and watching football on TV saying, you know, I could have done that. So I wanted to give myself that opportunity. And I just felt that my skill set fit really well with football. I mean, I didn't have to shoot any free throws. So that automatically had to make me a better football player.
Yeah, Julius Thomas, and it's crazy how many guys make that transition from basketball to specifically tight end, but that athleticism on the basketball court certainly does translate well to the NFL with guys that are big enough to take the pounding of the NFL game, and Julius has proven he's a guy that's big enough to do it.
The very best ones of the modern era, the most recent, and Shannon Sharpe's part of the modern era. I don't know if he has a basketball background, but Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates, Jimmy Graham, and certainly Julius Thomas among the very best tight ends we've seen in the last 20 years.
Yeah, Jason Witten, the only pure football player among those guys, like in this modern
era. What
about
Gronk?
I don't know if Gronk played any basketball.
I don't recall hearing that. He didn't seem like he's got, you know, he's too Gronk to be a bat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like he'd have that basketball.
He seems like he's all football all the time.
He does.
You know, he's got that big blocky body.
He actually averaged 21 and 18 as a senior in 2006 playing basketball as a center.
In college?
No, in high school.
Oh, are you talking about Gronk or are you talking about Julius?
Yeah, Gronk averaged 21 and 18.
I could see it in high school, but to take it to the college level, I suspect most of these guys played anything they wanted to in high school, right?
Yeah.
I mean, these guys, you were talking cream
two,
of the
three
crop
sports,
athletes,
whatever they wanted to do.
Right.
Yeah.
You're good enough to make it to the NFL, unless you were, you know, specializing. Anyway, let's move on.
The question that Julius Thomas gets asked every time that he sees somebody from the media, and it was asked this morning again as he went on with the drill here on 1010XL, is the whole Peyton Manning shadow deal. If he wants to prove he can be as good a tight end without Peyton, and whether or not there's a sense of urgency in this offense.
I don't, you know, go to sleep at night and think, man, you know, I can only be a hell of a football player if Peyton's throwing football. So I think, you know, that's more something that's in other people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think that every offense needs to have a sense of urgency. And I think that you have to have a way that you prepare and a way that you go about being precise. You know, there's no secret to being a successful offense. It takes a group of guys that are dedicated to it and they're willing to put in that extra work to make sure that when they go out on the field, they're on the same page, they're making plays, and they're doing it together. And, you know, I think that that's what every team has to do. And even the best offenses can lose that at times and start to struggle. So, really, I just want to, you know, lead by example, just come out there every day and show guys the work ethic I bring to practice, encourage everybody, you know, just continue to remind, you know, our team and our offense today. You know, we did decide what our destiny is going to be this year. There is no, oh, this is what happened last year. This is what happened 4 years ago. None of that matters. Every year is a new year. Every team is really close to being really good and really close to being really bad. And it's going to be a group decision of what kind of team we want to be.
How many limits, Tony?
None.
No limits. All right. And finally, Julius Thomas asked by Jeff Prosser earlier today on the drill on 1010XL, if 3 years ago I were to tell you you'd be a top tight end in the league, what would your reaction have been?
I would have said it looks like my goals worked out. You know, I had one goal when I was a rookie, and I was, you know, I wanted to start by week 16 of my rookie year. I wanted to start, and then by year two, I wanted to go to the Pro Bowl. Those were my two goals, and I got goal number one. I started first game Monday Night Football in my rookie season. I think I hurt, didn't play in my second year, but I made it to the Pro Bowl in the third year. So, you know, I would have been ecstatic for you to give me that news, but you know, that's kind of where I saw myself and what I wanted to do.
Yeah, you should, right? I mean, if you want to get there, you got to believe you can get there.
Yeah.
Typically, you don't just fall into things in life. Most people aren't like me, who set out without a plan and just happen to fall into good situations from time to time. So there you go, Julius Thomas. Will his name get mentioned? I have a feeling it will in the Fan Feedback Spotlight today, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. We ask you, which Jaguar is most likely, if any, to make the Pro Bowl following this upcoming season? And you can weigh in, as you have, on Twitter, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL, Fat Tony, at 1010XL, Tyler, and, of course, on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. And a lot of people are taking advantage of the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line to weigh in via 641-1010 as well. Your reaction to that and more coming up on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. It's Jaguars Today, live from Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Thank God for little boys, Tony. According to the Boston's Restaurant Sports Bar text line, one of those American Girl dolls, just one. I don't know, maybe you just get one and you get different outfits for it. I don't know, but the doll itself costs $200.
Oh,
I can get, you know, a good six or seven Lego minifigs in a nice $100 set. Yeah, they're only about an inch and a half high, but, you know, a lot more fun than that looks. Hey, God bless little girls too, but have a little girl who likes Legos. That's the plan. Come on. All right. Today, Tom Bush family of dealerships asked you the question out there in Jaguar land, which member of the Jaguars most likely to make the Pro Bowl this upcoming season? You got a fresh batch of rookies. Some people even thought one might be pulled from there.
Mm-hmm.
We have a fresh batch of free agents. Certainly some candidates there, and some of the holdover guys looking for improvement. Tony, what kind of feedback did we get?
Here's what we got from Cristiano. Telvin Smith showed great upside last season, will shine this year, from Mudiche. We got Telvin Smith, if he continues to play like he did last season for 16 games, from Jason. Bortles, spot open once we all find out he can't throw a properly inflated football, from Matt. Julius Thomas, from Irish Jag. I'll give the same answer as I did last year, which was right, but for a different reason. None will be playing in the Super Bowl. From Paolo, Scobie will be clutch again and finally make the Pro Bowl. From Nick, Julius Thomas, no question. I would like to see Scobie get in finally. Hashtag vote for Scobie. From Brandon, Aaron Colvin, what he showed in the last few games he played last year makes me believe he steps up big this year. From Bobby, Julius Thomas, he has the name recognition that seems to be required to get a Pro Bowl vote. From Demetrius Linder, as a rookie, he made a case for the Pro Bowl, but it was overshadowed by the high sack numbers for the line. This is the season.
I've got some of these on Facebook. Jamie Clark said Bortles combat. Adrian Carter went with Blake Bortles. Book it! Alan Lynn, Julius Thomas, Pro Bowl, mostly name recognition. Maybe Marks if he comes back healthy and has a similar season. I think that'll be tough, you know, coming back fresh off the ACL. Michael Wren went with Bortles as an alternative or an alternate Pro Bowler. Hashtag Jaguars Today, hashtag Shut Up Randy. Haven't had that
oh
one in
goodness.
A while. Shut Up Randy makes an appearance. Nicely played, Michael. And shout out to Miss Lauren Brooks out there. Johnny Crum. Went with Telvin Smith, hashtag Jaguars Today. Let me get my tongue out of the way there. Cameron Franklin, I think Paul Posluszny or Allen Robinson, they both should have great seasons. Steve Coleman went with Sindarik Marks. I think Sindarik, very difficult. Look, I think, for me, the best single answer is Julius Thomas.
Yeah.
Right? Because he does have the reputation. He already comes in with star quality, okay? And he's known. Now, start going team by team, Tony. Gronkowski's going to make the Pro Bowl. I don't care who's throwing the football, right? I mean, so talking about AFC tight ends now, right?
Well, that's not the way it works anymore.
It is a mix of guys.
It's just like the top four vote getters at the tight end position are going to the Pro Bowl.
That's a good point. So it's not all AFC.
Right. It's just the top four tight ends in the league. So you got Jimmy Graham, now with Seattle.
We don't know what his role is going to be
right.
in Seattle.
We don't know what it's going to look like, but Rob Gronkowski is certainly going to get in. The other two tight ends last year in the Pro Bowl were Julius Thomas and Greg Olsen with Carolina. So that window is certainly still open for Julius Thomas.
Sure.
And again, it's about getting your name in that grinder. Everyone knows who Julius Thomas is. If he puts up comparable numbers to what he's been doing, then odds are he's going to be at least a strong consideration for the Pro Bowl. When you look outside of that, wide receiver seems like a really tough group to break into when you look at the guys that made the Pro Bowl last year. Running back is a little bit interesting because Le'Veon Bell, who was the leading vote getter last year, is going to be suspended for the first three games of the year. Two of the other guys who made the Pro Bowl last year are switching teams. So LeSean McCoy is going from the Eagles to the Bills. Who knows what he's going to look like this year? DeMarco Murray is going from Dallas, which was a really good running situation. And we'll see what it looks like in Philadelphia for him.
I think he'll be okay.
As far as the numbers that he's going to put up, I would expect him to be okay too. But running back, we talked about this last year when we talked about this question. Running back is one of those positions where when you show up and the numbers are big, you get votes. And so if T.J. Yeldon is going to be the feature back on this team, is there the possibility that he has a big enough year that he's a consideration? I think there's an outside chance of that kind of thing for a guy like T.J. Yeldon. Wide receiver is so difficult.
Right.
And offensive line, it's kind of the same deal. I think Brandon Linder will play at a Pro Bowl level doing it in Jacksonville. Unless a guy like T.J. Yeldon is putting up those monster numbers, I don't know if he'll get the attention he needs to make a Pro Bowl.
Brandon Linder needs analytics people on his side.
Right.
I mean, because that, it's one of those positions that we don't eyeball, we don't focus on, and you need something giving you that word of mouth. That needs one or two guys. You know, he's like Pete Prisco being a national writer to write that story of how well he's playing,
yep.
If in fact he is playing that well, and to get that on the radar and kind of get that conversation going out there. And that's part of what it is. It's part of a popularity contest. You're right about Yeldon, though, in this regard. Like you said, you can. This is the position. If you got it, I think more than any, it shows up at running back immediately. It just, if you got it, there's no, I've got to ease my way into the NFL. It's an instinctive position more so than any other on the football field, and we've seen guys come in and make their mark immediately. Let's say T.J. Yeldon was a 1,300-yard back, and he scored 8 to 10 touchdowns. Right? We'd take those numbers, right?
Yeah,
I would take those numbers.
Absolutely.
What he's got, Tony, that David Cobb doesn't have, what David Johnson doesn't have, he played for Alabama.
Right.
T.J. Yeldon was
everyone
in a
knows his name.
High profile. He comes in, you know his backstory, you know the situation, and you know how bad the Jags' run game was last year. So despite the fact that he's going to be playing behind an improved line, as will Toby Gerhart and Denard Robinson this year, that will get overlooked somewhat. You know what I mean? I mean, that just kind of go. They'll go, well, this is what the Jags' running game did last year. Here's what they did this year,
mm-hmm.
as by way of comparison. So
I would think running back, tight end, they got a chance, obviously, with Julius Thomas. I think Brandon Linder will play at a level where he should at least be considered for the Pro Bowl, and we'll see if, again, he gets enough attention to do it. Defensively, you know, we had Telvin Smith mentioned a lot. Here's the issue with outside linebacker in the Pro Bowl. It's a sack position. In the Pro Bowl, it is purely a sack position. They don't care about tackles. They don't care about picks. They don't care about anything else. Voters are looking at the guys that are getting sacks because those are the guys that are being shown in highlight reels over and over and over. And you look at the guys who played outside linebacker in the Pro Bowl last year, Connor Barwin, Elvis Dumervil, Tamba Ali, Justin Houston, Clay Matthews, Von Miller. Those are pass rushers.
Now, no doubt.
Telvin Smith is a great football player, it looks like. We hope that he develops into an even better football player, but that's not really what he's asked to do in this Jaguars defense, which puts him in a bit of a it's a long shot for him to start getting votes with those kind of guys. Not that he wouldn't be worthy of being considered for a Pro Bowl with his play, but it's probably just not going to happen because unless he has a season where he gets, you know, 8-9 sacks when they let him go a little bit, which they did a little bit last year.
And quite frankly, I think Telvin Smith still has somewhat of a learning curve, right? He didn't start all those games last year. He's still, I think this is going to be a big stepping stone year for him. And I think, look, I'd love to be wrong. I'd love for him to be that far ahead of the curve where he plays at a Pro Bowl level this year. But
sure.
I'm more looking towards year three. That doesn't mean he shouldn't be starting or helping this football team. There are plenty of good players in the National Football League that are not Pro Bowlers. In his second year, I think he's shown enough. He's got to hold up, too. Right? I mean, he did last year, but he's always going to be that guy. He's never, if you're waiting for him to be 240, one training camp, it's not going to happen. I don't think anyway. I think you're always going to be, well, we're trying to pack a few more pounds onto Telvin Smith. I think Telvin Smith is a guy that's going to play small and, you know, compared to the typical linebacker size and be effective at it because he's a pretty unique athlete. He's got it all. He's got explosiveness. He's got speed and quickness. He's got instincts. He can tackle for his size. He can hit. I think he can do everything. It's putting it all together. I think probably another year away from really having that breakout campaign.
Sure.
But excited to see what he can do. And I'm excited the fact that there are enough people that you can reasonably have a discussion about.
Absolutely. And look, the other position I'll mention really quick, there were two strong safeties in the Pro Bowl last year. Cam Chancellor is an easy one to figure out because he's probably the most popular strong safety in the game right now. The other strong safety in the Pro Bowl was TJ Ward. And the point of that is, if Jonathan Cyprien has a statistically great season, there's that chance. I haven't seen anything from Jonathan Cyprien on the field yet that makes me think that he's bound to have that
right
this year, but there is that outside possibility because the position around the league just isn't that strong if TJ Ward's going to be a guy that's making a Pro Bowl.
Granted, I think you're a long way away. I would think Telvin Smith before I would think Jonathan Cyprien,
too,
just based on the returns that we've seen so far. But, hey, go prove us wrong. Go out there and let's or the best answer is, as several have said, many will earn the spot. They'll have to pass it up because they're going to the Super Bowl. Although,
love to see that.
It's in Honolulu. Is it? I don't know if it's prior to the game next year or after the game. Don't know what the schedule. It doesn't really matter. Let's worry about that when the Jags are making their deep playoff run and trying to figure out travel arrangements at that time of the year. I will close with this couple of texts on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Caller said, I guess it was a caller, actually, called in and told Tyler he was at the New York City American Girl doll store 2 weeks ago, Tony. The place is three stories tall just to sell these dolls. And you pay about $150 just to buy the doll. Then you can take the doll to a beauty salon in the store where the doll can get its hair done and its ears pierced. And, of course, that would be extra money you would have to pay for the beauty salon treatment. Really?
Oh, that sounds so bad.
Oh, wow. I'm so glad I have a boy. So glad I have a boy. But you know what? Hey, if you're an American Girl family, God bless you.
Takes as long all as kind. They're having a good time, I guess.
Takes all kind.
The idea of taking a doll to get its ears pierced.
I can buy a lot of Lego sets for the cost of one beauty appearance by American Girl, apparently. All right, that does it for us today. Glad Julius Thomas was able to come on with the drill this morning on 1010XL 92.5 FM, and we could bring you some of those thoughts. Jags get Dante Fowler under contract. Again, just to be clear, not to belabor the whole situation, we will post the segment on SoundCloud. We'll tweet it out about Mark Long not standing by the reporting that he did, and listen to the whole thing about Justin Blackmon applying for reinstatement and being denied. Every source I have talked to other than Mark now indicates that that is not true, that he has not applied for reinstatement. I wanted to make that clear in the whole circumstance. So as far as the Jaguars are concerned, nothing has changed. Status quo until they hear anything. And no reason for anybody to get excited until they hear anything either, because when they hear something, that news will get out shortly, I'm sure. All right, that does it for us today. Thanks to Tyler Devitt. Thanks to Joe Fortunato. For Fat Tony and all of you out there in Radio Land, thanks to Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor. Live at Everbank every day of the week. Jaguars today wrapping up. We'll say hello to XL Primetime next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.